Okay, Simon, well, first of all, hello. Thanks very much for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So first of all, what is Intrinsic Links Limited? In a nutshell, what does the business do?
Okay, so in a nutshell, Intrinsic Links, we are a team building and e-learning company. So we're a group of psychologists, and basically we look to increase job performance and job satisfaction and well-being in the workplace.
And how long have you been doing it?
We started trading as a limited company in January 2014.
So you started trading January 2014, nearly 3 years then?
Yes, yeah.
Must have been an interesting 3 years for you. What were you doing before you set up the business?
So before I set up the business, I was working as an employability researcher at Sheffield Hallam University. I also became a lecturer of psychology at Leeds Beckett, and I'm still teaching there now as well.
I see. And why then did you move into setting this business up? You're already lecturing and you're working in employability. Was it always your dream to start a business, or did you see that there was a need for the services that you do?
The initial idea came actually on an undergraduate university project. I had an idea with some friends that we could set up a mini enterprise when we were at university for one of our modules to gain some work experience and try something different. So we developed some training materials around motivation and well-being, around exam anxiety as well. So we taught students techniques on how to be motivated to do their work and also to manage anxiety around exams. And then from that I thought, well, that's a great idea. I took a work psychology module and then went on to do a master's in work psychology as well, and then set the business up pretty soon after graduating, really.
Great stuff. And who do you work with? What kind of clients do you have?
We have a broad range of clients across all market sectors, so we work with micro companies, SMEs and international corporations.
And so can you name any clients, or are there clients who you work with but they don't like to be named? How does it work?
All our clients are happy for us to name them. Obviously, there's some elements perhaps we won't go into details on. If there's any conflict in teams, that would be sort of confidential. But all the positive team working stuff that we do with them, we've got testimonials on our website from Virgin Trains is probably one of the most famous brands we've worked with. We work with Sheffield Hallam University as well.
I noticed a testimonial on the website as well from Gripple.
Yes, we worked with them recently, which was really great, yeah.
So those are well-known businesses, well-known brands, well-known names. And you also work with micro-enterprises, startups, small businesses, and you mentioned with the university, with Sheffield Hallam University too. Quite an interesting range there.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's fantastic because we've so many different business structures and different types of people and different job roles, so it makes my job even more interesting as well to actually try and help them gel and develop as a team as well.
Yes, and I'd like to ask you more about then how you help them, because it's a really fascinating range of clients there, and I know that you work in terms of team building, motivation, and other aspects of work psychology. What are the frequent challenges that come up from clients, and then how do you help your clients to deal with these challenges?
I would say main challenges clients face are to do, again, with effective teamwork, effective communication, and then also effective customer service as well. Our focus again is on effective teamwork and effective communication, so we teach them a range of techniques regarding that. And again, a lot of the emphasis is about building self-awareness as well, so focusing on personality, so analysing everyone's personality types, trying to get people to just raise awareness of themselves and their colleagues and their customers, to build rapport with each other, to play to their strengths. And that's also where emotional intelligence comes in as well. So we teach techniques to help people work more effectively within their team, but also to build rapport with customers, which again can make the organisation more efficient, and then keep customers loyal as well. So
the business benefits there are pronounced and profound, and people can see the impact. And the process of working with them is through self-awareness, empowering people for better communication, better teamwork. And you talked about personality profiling. Mm-hmm. Are Myers-Briggs type indicators and DISC profiling, are those used by business psychologists?
Yes, yeah, so
what do you use?
So, yeah, we use, it's Myers-Briggs type yes. inventories, yeah, because we yes. found them to be really useful. They're quite intuitive, so, you know, that kind of model does show that people are quite flexible as human beings as well. So we always emphasise people are flexible. It doesn't pigeonhole you as such because, you know, my personality is quite extrovert, so sometimes I'm introvert. It depends on the situation, who you're with. You know, if I'm running a training session, I'll be still more extrovert. But if I'm doing some research, I'm more introvert. So, I mean, it just shows that people are very flexible. So just we get people to play to their strengths, really.
Quite great. And businesses who are listening to this and are thinking about how to foster better teamwork or better communication. Now, obviously, they can approach you, and we're going to give the details for how people can get in touch with you directly and take a look at the website and see the advice that you give there. Mm. But before we do that, any very simple tips where there are small changes that businesses can make, but sometimes they just don't see them. But these small changes have an effect in terms of better communication, better teamwork, better understanding of people's personalities or strengths. And I know that's perhaps a difficult question, but it might be something that you have observed in your career so far.
I would say there are simple things that most people probably think are blindingly obvious, but it doesn't always happen. Really, effective communication-wise, don't be constantly sending emails to each other, especially if you're sat in the same room. get up, go across the room, speak face-to-face with your colleagues, or, you know, if you happen to have colleagues that are dispersed across the country, like our clients are dispersed across the UK and internationally. So, I mean, obviously that's trickier for them to meet face-to-face, but if you can't do that, Skype is always a better option because you can see each other. You've got social cues from looking at people's faces, whether it's in real life or on Skype. So it makes things more effective. Things can be misunderstood in emails as well. Tone of email, sometimes people can be just very direct. Other people might find that rude. You know, things can get lost in translation. So pick up the phone, talk to each other, Skype each other, or walk across the office and chat with each other, you know. So it makes exchanges that bit more pleasant, and hopefully less misunderstandings can occur.
That's well worth mentioning, because as you say, it might be seen as a simple thing, but it's a very effective thing that is easy to ignore and yet will have profound consequences. Good, thank you. And so we've talked a little bit about frequent challenges that clients have, or perhaps in ways that you help clients, and ways you help clients to better communicate, to work better collaboratively, and so on. How, as a business owner, though, have you secured the clients that you have secured in the 3 years of nearly 3 years of trading? How did you do that?
Mostly it has been through the internet, through Google searches. People find our website, and also I guess through some networking as well, and also word of mouth now, because you know people are recommending us, so that's, you know, it's always a good thing. And I guess we always undertake a lot of research and development, so we're always listening to our clients as well, and we ask them, you know, what do you want, what do you need, what, how can we help your business work better? So, I mean, clients also said they wanted more fun elements to our training, so we've made a range of really fun team building events as well as more formal training, so it depends on the tone that you want to follow. Also making it flexible as well. Clients don't always have time to necessarily take time out of work because they're running their business. So we developed an online e-learning system, yes, which we'll be launching within the next few months. So again, that gives flexibility. So we're listening to our clients again to cater to their needs. And again, I would say collaboration as well has actually been key to our success. We collaborate with and our partners with the Great Escape Game in Sheffield, so the Live Escape Game Experience. We're also partners with Alfie as well, so they're an employability training enterprise. So we're launching a Dragon's Den style sort of team building event with those guys within the next couple of weeks.
And so collaboration and finding appropriate partners has been very, very helpful for your business. Now, when someone is new in business, and they don't necessarily have a track record, or that business doesn't have a track record, irrespective perhaps of what they were doing before, sometimes it can be difficult to secure partners. Any tips, any advice? How did you go about working with Great Escape, working with Alfie, and building those relationships?
Yeah, the Great Escape, again, the power of networking.
Yes.
I was at an event of Jill White, and...
Jill has been on this programme, of course. Met several times.
Yeah, cool. Yes, and Peter from the Great Escape was there. I saw him with his T-shirt on, his Great Escape T-shirt, yeah, handed out some flyers, and I just got chatting to him, and I was like, there's definitely a psychological link here. I'm sure we could develop some sort of package together where people can learn about personality and effective teamwork, and we could put something together for them, because, you know, the Great Escape is all about teamwork as well, and obviously having fun. So yeah, that's how we forged that partnership. So we've been in partnership for over a year now with Great Escape, and it's one of our most popular packages as well. Also, yeah, with Alfie, that came about from co-working at Union Street, because Alfie are based at Air Street Studios, but they have strong links with Union Street, so I just went down and had a chat, and we were both like, yeah, let's do something that's going to be you know, positive around employability and also entrepreneurship, and, you know, creativity and team bonding in the workplace. So with the Dragon's Den type stuff, we are going to help people actually learn about teamwork, but also product development. They'll be able to make their own products and sell them to raise money for their company's charity.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that.
And that's further demonstration as well of the power of collaborative workspaces. Mm. And of course, Matt Hill, Union Street, was on this programme last week. Excellent. Now, you also talked about word of mouth and networking in terms of getting clients. And you have come from an academic background yourself. You have continued to work at university in Leeds, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose business psychology, occupational psychology, is a well-respected discipline, but at the same time it sits alongside consultancy, coaching, but also other areas which can attract people who don't have the academic rigour to back up what they're spouting.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a concern of you that you have the academic rigour and the evidence base in your discipline to go and work with companies,
mm-hmm.
but there can be entrants to your sector who don't have the evidence base, don't have the rigour, but and yet they can come in and participate in your sector? And is that a concern? Or am I needlessly worried for you?
I would say, yeah, no, it hasn't been a real concern, to be totally honest, and we haven't had any issues with competition. I would say if people do come in, maybe with slightly different backgrounds, maybe don't have the academic qualifications I do and the experience, it's not always necessarily a bad thing. If they have something that's really different and unique, it may be that, you know, they're catering to a different market sector, or you never know, it could be what we would collaborate with other people. You know, it's, I would say, qualifications do count. Obviously, we can back things up with scientific evidence.
So moving back to how you've grown and developed the business, you've secured clients, you're delivering results for those clients. What though have been the biggest challenges for Intrinsic Links and for you, Simon, since setting up and developing and growing the business? And how have you overcome those?
I would say, well, the biggest challenge was basically being able to expand more rapidly. We were lucky to get support from both Sheffield Hallam University and the University of Sheffield. So we got grant funding and also were able to use office space for free for a year. So that was an excellent support to help us get going, you know, doing our research and development, trying out new things, you know, in a relatively safe environment. So yeah, that was a great help, but I would say the biggest challenge was trying to expand and get money to do that. So yeah, we applied to the government loans company to get funding so we could expand and primarily build our e-learning app and spend money on marketing, a new website, that kind of thing. And it took us a very long time to secure the funds. It took probably over 6 months, if not longer, to actually go through the rigorous process of writing a comprehensive business plan. And also they really did push us to increase our sales revenues, which was actually a good thing though, because they pushed us to work harder to try and get what we wanted. So it was a big challenge, but then it also has pushed us a lot further, made us work harder, and we are a lot more successful and we've grown significantly since then.
And at what point did you apply to that scheme?
Well, we gained the loan funding in November 2015.
And
so we more or less started the process at the beginning of 2015.
Yes.
So it did take some time.
So that was for growth of the business. Mm. And as you say, you had to develop your business plan to the satisfaction of the scheme provider and jump through the hoops that they wanted you to do and increase your sales so there was more revenue coming into the business anyway. It sounds as though that was a supportive process though, with the providers of the scheme not only being there to loan money to growing businesses, but to question them and to support them as well. Mm. Would you recommend that scheme to other growing businesses, to young businesses, early stage businesses?
Yeah, absolutely, because you do get your own personal advisor as well.
Yes.
And they are very supportive. They help you build the plan. And obviously they can signpost you to get support from other places as well, such as Business Sheffield and so on.
Yes, of course. So that was the government startup loan scheme, was it? Yeah. Which, of course, is available for startups and early stage businesses like yours. And when you actually founded the business, when you set it up, at the start of 2014, started trading, registered late 2013. What did you require in terms of support then, and what did you require in terms of finance when you started up, and how did you deal with that?
Support again was both the universities in Sheffield, getting the office at the Hatchery and the workstation.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
So that was through Sheffield Hallam University's enterprise?
Yeah. Sheffield Hallam, and then the USE, the University of Sheffield Enterprise as well, also was an advisor I got advice from, and we got a small grant to build our website as well, so that was very useful. Sheffield Hallam, again, lots of different meetings with advisors, Kevin Smith, Jill White, Faye Smith as well, so they're useful for a broad range of business requirements, you know, publicity, marketing, legal things, that kind of thing. All that was extremely useful, and we did get a grant funding as well, so that helped us get going. Obviously, we didn't have the overhead cost of an office, but we had the chance to go into an office place to also network with other entrepreneurs. It was a supportive and friendly environment because the university has various events, networking events, and sort of celebration events really with the entrepreneurs that go through the graduate enterprise scheme.
Indeed.
So all that was fantastic, definitely. Because when we first started, obviously, we were a bit nervous about things. We didn't always know the ins and outs of certain marketing strategy we should take, or the legalities of certain things, taxes, accounts, etc. So, you know, we were sort of trying to find our way, so it was good to have that support, and then you can just email or ring someone or have a meeting, and you know, that was extremely useful.
Yes, quite good. So your journey as an entrepreneur then has been a journey of learning, a journey of delivering the services that you do to your clients to help them become better at teamworking, at communication, at collaboration, but also your own journey of learning how to run your business and manage your business and grow your business. Because I understand from talking with you that this year has seen sales and client numbers significantly increase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So does that present, obviously that's great news, you as a growing business, if that's what you want to do, but does that present challenges in itself in terms of whether you're able to be as hands-on in delivery as you might want to be, but you also have to manage the business, and if so, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, definitely, I would say that is the new challenge now. We are expanding quite rapidly now. And so it's the challenge of, you know, balancing sort of all these spinning plates all at once. Basically we've got a bigger team now. So I've got somebody who's working on business development and marketing, somebody else who does a lot of research and development work. And then we are again growing, and we are going to be recruiting more people as well. Once we launch these other team building events and games, the e-learning platform, so I would say by the end of the year, early next year, we'll definitely recruit maybe a couple more members to our team. And every year we also have interns as well that come and work with us for sometimes a couple of weeks or a few months. So it can be like 3-6 months or so. So that's from Sheffield Hallam and Leeds Beckett. So that gives them like great work experience as well, and a credit for their university modules. But then it's also great for us to have new people come in with fresh new ideas. And it really does add more of a buzz to the office when we've got more people with ideas contributing, so yeah, it's great.
Good stuff. So that provides opportunities for them as well, and real life experience, and it supports you, and it sounds as though with a growing team you're then presumably delegating some of the work that you would have done yourself to others.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That can be hard for some people to do.
I think at first it was a little bit difficult, but now I'm more comfortable with it now, because I know that the people that we've got are very competent and they can get on with doing the job to extremely high standards. So that gives me opportunity to do other things that I enjoy doing, because I am, I suppose, quite typically an entrepreneur. I like to jump around from project to project, and quite often that can be a bit tricky. I need to focus more, but now I've got more of a team, they take over the other bits and I can move on to try and develop new projects, which is good for me. So
good for you. Good for the business. Indeed. So any final tips that we can offer our listeners, whatever businesses that they're in, whatever businesses they're running, and these could be tips that you can offer, whether on psychology in the workplace, or on collaboration and teamwork and communication, or if you would prefer, you can offer tips on the systems and processes of managing and running and growing a business. Any advice?
I suppose a few on developing a business. I'd say, take your time. Don't rush into things necessarily and make hasty decisions. I know in the media and Dragon's Den on the television, it's all like, you must be growing rapidly and making lots of money straight away. I think that's quite an unrealistic pressure to put on young entrepreneurs. Whereas I think there's nothing wrong with sort of taking your time and evolving organically. Obviously get as much advice as you can from university enterprise teams, Business Sheffield for example, they're extremely useful, the government loan company as well. Don't be too afraid to try and experiment with doing different things, maybe different marketing strategies, or even providing different services. You can test things, explain to clients that this is new, that you're doing research. So just be honest with clients as well, so then you're managing expectations. If something doesn't work, then it doesn't work. You can move on and develop and evolve to do new things, like we have with formal training that evolved into more fun team building events. So yeah, take some risks, but obviously calculate the risk. You know, we borrowed some money to expand, but you know, the risk was worth taking because we're making a lot more money now, so the loan isn't an issue for us. So yeah, work hard obviously, but make sure you take time off, because if you don't, if it's you on your own especially, you make yourself ill and then you can't work. So you know, you need to be careful. Having time out is good to reflect as well. You know, and you can come up with new ideas. I mean, often I would go to the gym and I would come up with a new idea.
Yes.
And then I'd go back to the office and be excited about, oh, I've come up with this idea now. So that's really important. And I would say, yeah, play to your strengths. Again, sort of psychological thing. Play to your strengths. What do you like? What are you good at? Again, psychological motivational techniques, there's all kinds of things you can use, you know, SMART goals, that kind of thing.
Indeed.
You can make yourself a sort of life aims book of things that you want to achieve. I'd say obviously be realistic as well. You know, you need to plan things, you need to... I would say also, you know, things take twice as long as you think as well. So don't get impatient, try to be, you know, be resilient as well, because things won't necessarily always go quite how you want, but you know, keep persevering. And I suppose really, yeah, feel the fear and do it anyway as well, I say.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Great. Well, fantastic advice there, Simon. Thank you so much for that. And advice that I think our listeners can use and of course implement in their own businesses. People can of course get in touch with you. You're online, website, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. What's the best way, and do you want to give out the addresses?
Yeah, if you want to contact us, could have a look on our website, which is intrinsiclinks.com, and you can email us via the website, which is hello@intrinsiclinks.com, or give us a call as well, that's fine.
Lovely.
Excellent.
Okay, well, Simon Kilpatrick, Chief Executive of Intrinsic Links Limited, business psychologist, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, it's been great. Cheers.